On that last song, that was very nice. Well, it's good to be with y'all this morning. It's been a little while. All right, good group this morning. Y'all look good out there. Turn to your neighbor, tell them how good they look. You're not lying. You're not lying. Well, it's a pleasure to be with you this morning. Two Sundays ago, I was at First Friends Church over in Hampton. Did a revival over there on Friday, Saturday night, and then Sunday morning. I know Paul was here 2 weeks ago. I listened to what he had to share with you guys, and I thought it was an excellent word. It's really nice to have good, capable, faithful people to share the word of the Lord. And Greg last week, and the revival, it was the first revival I ever preached. I really had a good time. It was fun, and I got the honor of leading one person to the Lord, and several people had come up for prayer during the time frame. And then week before last, I was at a Master Builders conference in Tennessee. And that was a very good conference. I was really off the grid. First time I'd ever pulled my phone out and it said no service. So it was actually kind of nice. So it was down in Tennessee, kind of in the backwoods, where they have a nice slang. And Pete Beck was there. Neil was there. It's actually, they had prayer times before each service, which the prayer times were powerful. And I sat down beside Pete, and it was kind of this big circle, and Pete and I are talking, and it's prayer, and it's very active, loud, boisterous kind of prayer, you know, which I like. But Pete and I are talking to one another, and this woman sitting beside him leans over, and she says, "Y'all need to start praying." I told Pete, I said, "I think Paula Deen just rebuked us." So I had a good time there. And then last week, my bride and I went to the Outer Banks and spent some time there. Enjoyed that. I don't know where she is this morning. She should be here. But when you're a care provider and you wake up in the morning, you never know what's going on, you know. So anyway, So I'm honored to share the word with you this morning, and also at the same time a little concerned to share the word with you, because Franklin Graham and 250 other leaders have called for churches today to pray for our president. And some of those were James Robinson, Robert Morris, Dr. Dobson, Mike Huckabee, John Hagee, Dutch Sheets, Michael W. Smith. So they've called for this prayer, and I just want to read this from Franklin. It says, "Along with 250 plus Christian leaders, I'm asking followers of Christ across our nation to set aside this Sunday, June the 2nd, as a special day of prayer for President Donald J. Trump. Mr. Trump's enemies continue to try everything to destroy him, his family, and the presidency. In the history of our country, no president has been attacked as he has. I believe the only hope for him in this nation is God." And so my apprehension is because he's such a polarizing, and politics is such a polarizing subject. And I know we all have our own opinion. So this is not at all intended to be a political thing this morning, but a godly thing. So I'm appealing to the spiritual man in you to respond to the need that our nation has. And keep in mind that in the book of Daniel, Daniel was a politician. Joseph was a politician. King David was a politician. The scripture says, "As much as possible, live at peace with all men." That's an instruction from the word. And so Government derives its authority from God. And civil government is in place, and really all government, to promote good and to restrain evil. And the Bible provides all kinds of guidance for the various kinds of authorities. And when we exercise biblical authority or we vote for biblical authority, we should keep that guidance in mind. And that kind of thinking has, in our history, in the history of the world, it has stemmed the tide of slavery, has been, you know, that was a political but a moral issue at the same time. If you go way back, human sacrifice, polygamy, human rights, the right to life, protection, all of those things are things that are moral issues, but when we go to the ballot box, we vote, hopefully, with those things in mind. And so good government is really a conduit for stability and order and peace in our lives and provides opportunity for all of mankind to live in an orderly society. So I'd just like, before we pray, I would just gonna invite y'all, anyone that would like to pray for our president and our nation, I would like to use the opportunity to kind of clarify some things about biblical authority. And I see where people kind of use one principle of authority and apply it where it's not supposed to be applied, and it kind of can mess our thinking up. But we have several authority structures in our lives. Our families all come under authority structures. A husband and a wife. The man is the head of the wife and head of the household, and he is to love his wife and his life and lead the family and love his wife just as Christ loved the church, laying down his life for her, sacrificing for her, and she is to honor and respect her husband. Mom and dads together, an authority structure for training up children and raising children. They work together to raise children. It takes both males and females to reflect fully the image of God. And so inherent in males and inherent in females are certain godly traits. And that's why, you know, if you take Father's Day, it's not nearly as celebrated as Mother's Day, because fathers are more protectors, rulers, disciplinarians, and mothers are more loving, nurturing, and caring. And we all love, nurturing, caring more than discipline. Therefore, mothers get the accolades that fathers don't. That's just the way it is. So, but it takes both. And this is in God's order for family and for parenting. And that's why he says, dads, don't provoke your children to wrath. He didn't say that to mothers, because dads, with that way we are, that's godly, to protect and to discipline, we can be prone to being a little bit too hard sometimes. So that's where Mama Bear comes along and punches Papa Bear in the side and says, you know, you need to cool it, you know. And so you have family authority. Then you have authorities in church. You have leaders and elders and pastors and congregations. And, you know, the scripture gives elders clear indication, says, mark those who walk contrary among you. And as an elder, when I served as an elder, you had your eye out for certain people, and you were a protector of the congregation, and you kept your eye out. I remember at New Covenant, I went up to a man one time and I said, you are welcome here, but I want you to know I got my eye on you. It was the way he was handling himself around some of the young females. And so he got the message, but that's what elders do. And Paul said, know this, after I leave, ravenous wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. So Paul even told the elders, he said, the enemy is going to come in and try to take advantage, and you elders are to take care of things. The Bible instructs leaders and congregations don't use partiality. All of these are governmental type things to maintain order. Matthew 18 tells us how to handle a dispute. If your brother or sister offends you, you go to that one alone, try to resolve it. If you can't, take two or three with you. If not, take it to the church. And so it tells you how to resolve these things. That's all governmental things. The Bible gives instruction for government in the workplace. You know, it says that employers should treat their employees fairly, and employees should do their work as unto the Lord. You may have a bad boss, but the Bible says if you treat your job as though you're working for God, from the Lord you will receive a reward. And so all of these are instructions about operating in society and in life to have peace and harmony and order. And then there's civil government, and that deters evil. Even says that we should live a quiet, orderly, and peaceable life. And so confusion comes when we try to take one authority principles of one type and apply it to another. Like employers shouldn't treat their employees like children. These are not kids, you know. So you treat them with respect. Citizens are governed differently than congregations are governed. Parents don't govern at home like a president would govern a country. It's all different. Parents bear the rod, it says in the word. Government, civil government, bears a sword. There's a big difference between a rod and a sword. Misunderstandings can be handled at church and between people, but crimes cannot be handled at church. It goes into the civil realm. Remember one time I was faced with a situation where someone wanted to handle something according to Matthew 18, and I said, unfortunately, you're out of the church jurisdiction now because you have been accused of a civil crime, and it will be handled in the courts. And it was. And it did not turn out well for that person. And so these things are different. And you can't just apply one set of principles in one area and misapply it in another. They don't all work the same for each other. You know, if someone commits a murder, you can't say, let's do Matthew 18 here. No, it goes over to the civil side. So you must realize that. Let me read you some scriptures. In John 19:10, Pilate said to Jesus, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. So Jesus is being interrogated by a civil authority, but he says, you have no power unless it was given to you from above. So we must infer from that authority that is given to people, parents, employers, civil authorities, is given from above because God likes order. The Holy Spirit brooded over the deep and the darkness and the chaos, and then Jesus spoke, let there be light, and there was light, and order came. That was government that was happening. 1 Timothy 2, it says, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So we all want a quiet and peaceful life. It is possible to have a society that can lead a quiet and peaceable life. Not everybody knows Jesus, but there is a order and a structure set in place that leads all of mankind, saved and unsaved, to have order with one another. And when that begins to fall apart and deteriorate, that's when confusion happens, evil begins to happen, and bad things begin to happen. And that's what's happening in our country today. We're having a breakdown in our civil authorities. When Paul was on a missionary journey, I don't remember if it was the second or third, but he was at Thessalonica, and he was preaching the gospel, and it was resisted, and they stirred up a crowd, and he left there and went to Berea, and the people from Thessalonica came and tried to stir the thing, trouble there, and he left Berea, and he went to Athens, and he had mixed results in these areas, but when he got to Athens, he came to Mars Hill, and they had all kinds of statues, idols, various things like that. And they had one there, a statue, and it said, "To the unknown God." And that provoked Paul. And everywhere Paul went, he would go to the temple, and he would engage people in conversation and share the gospel with them. Some would get saved. Says notable people, prominent women would get saved. Others would rebel against it and try to stir up trouble. And when he got here, he saw this idol to the unknown God. And in Acts 17, there is all of that. Acts 17 is about him addressing this. But he makes an interesting statement in there. He said, "The God that made the world and everything in it, and does not dwell in a temple made with hands," and he went on to share Christ. He said something very interesting in verse 26. It says, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings," or of their habitation. And so Paul is giving us a thing here about nations. Nations are of God. They were all created from one blood at the beginning. And then at the Tower of Babel, there was a dispersing according to languages, and nations rose up. Nations are in the heart of God. And in heaven, every tribe, every tongue, every nation will be represented. And nations have boundaries. They have a pre-appointed by God borders of where nations begin and where they end. Now, when you take and try to apply biblical principles of kindness and family and church, and then you try to apply it in a civil thing to say we should open our borders to all people, you have now taken authority that is given to a family or a church, and you're trying to apply it in a civil way. You're kind of missing the mark. There are proper ways to in our country. And I'm just using this thing that's happening at the border. There is a crisis at our border. But some people look at it and say, it's not nice for us to keep people out. We should open our borders and let people in. Well, the Bible gives us, there are bounds of our habitations based on our nations. And many people will say, think nice little phrases like, "I believe we should build a bridge and not a wall," which sounds nice and kind, but a bridge, it basically connects one boundary to another boundary with an access point at each of those so you can cross from one to the other. And so I believe our president is totally correct in trying to deal with the crisis at the border. We're not dealing with refugees that are leaving a war-torn area, and there are proper ways to enter our country. And the thing is, our president is being opposed very strongly because he tries to do things that other presidents did But because there's such hatred for him, it's kind of zeroed in on him, and people even switch what they believe because he believes this, I now don't believe that. And so his juvenile name-calling, which I don't appreciate, but that's just the way he is. It's like Roger Tatum used to say, when you eat fish, you got to spit the bones out. His juvenile name-calling is met with a juvenile response. And our leaders should rise above those nitpicky kind of things and do what's right for the nation. And because they don't, our country suffers. So we could see it. I mean, our president, bless his heart, there's so much I love about him and so much that I could just wish that I could turn that button off and stop the name calling, stop the little petty things and focus. But like I said, we're all subject to certain things and we have certain things in our hearts, but it's really divided our country and set our country and the media is totally in on coming against him. And so that's why I say I approached what I'm doing today. Franklin Graham has asked us to do that. I have a lot of respect for him and Dr. Dobson and Robert Morse and so many of those. I thought, yes, we need to do this. And I pray that my congregation will rise above personal opinion and invoke godly principles to pray for our president today. So as a pastor, I'm going to take a risk today, and I'm going to have the mic available for anyone who would like to pray for our country and our president. And I appeal to you to pray a prayer that is pleasing to God and not pleasing to fleshly opinions. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in dark places. And if some of you say, well, I don't know how to pray for this man, well, there's some things. Pray that he has a godly heart. Pray that he will accept wise counsel. Pray that God will strengthen him. Pray that he would use discretion, foresight, understanding, humility, that he would be courageous. He would be tender. He would protect us from evil and bless his family and help him to make godly decisions. Those are just a few things that I thought of. And so we've been asked by our prominent Christian leaders as a congregation, us and other congregations throughout the land, and I don't know how many are doing this. They did, Franklin Graham did say, would you sign something that you will do this? And I went on the website and I signed it. And so prayer works. And so I believe our country's in a very difficult time right now. So what I would like to do, Andy, would you mind taking the mic around? Just appeal to you, if you want to pray for our president and our country, just raise your hand. Andy will bring the mic to you. And let's enter into a time of prayer together. This little congregation, along with all other congregations that are entering today, we could turn some things in the spirit today by our unified prayers. You agree with that?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, if you want to pray, just lift your hand up, and we're going to take the rest of the service to have some prayer.
Oh, Lord, we thank you for this time that we can gather together in a free country and pray. I pray that you would divide the tongues and confuse the plans of those plotting evil against the president. And Lord, I pray your blood protection over him and his family. In Jesus' name.
Scripture says that we are to pray for those in authority over us. So what we're doing today is following Scripture. Lord Jesus, we just lift our president to you. And Father, I pray that by your Spirit, you speak to him in the night season when he can't hear all the other things and can't see the TV and everything else that's going around about him. By your Holy Spirit, speak to his spirit and give him instruction. We pray for wisdom, for a tender heart towards the things of God. In Jesus' name.
Lord, thank you so much for the privilege of coming before you. Lord, I don't think Donald Trump's been a Christian very long. I think he's coming along, but he's, in my mind anyway, he's like a new Christian. So, Lord, I pray that you will begin to give him revelation knowledge of your word. Mm-hmm. When he reads it, even if it's just a little devotional book in the morning, every scripture he reads, Lord, I ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit to open it to his heart, to open it to his understanding, that he will learn to walk with you and to walk in the ways of God, which you use your word to teach us. Lord, I pray you teach him. God, I ask you to give him restraint. Cause him, Lord, to pause, to feel the pause in his heart and his spirit before he speaks or tweets. Lord, I thank you that we can trust you and depend on you, that as we pray, Lord, you will answer our prayers. There's a lot of other things that we need to pray for him, but this is what I'm asking for today. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Lord, I just want to pray and ask that you that no weapon formed against him or his family shall prosper. And Lord, that you will give him wisdom from above. And Lord, we ask for a thick skin for him, Father. Let him rise above. Let you be his soundboard, and I just lift him up, and Lord, give him wisdom, and just be with him in Jesus' name.
Lord, we thank you for, Lord, what you've done in our country. Lord, you placed this man there, and Father, it appears that it has brought a lot of conflict. And so, Lord, I just pray, Father, you would use us to be peacemakers, Lord, in this land. Show us, Lord, give us wisdom. And, Lord, we do cover our president with prayer. Lord, we pray your blessing of health. We pray your protection upon him. We pray, Father, that he would grow in wisdom, Lord, that he would grow in knowledge of you. Lord, I pray for his children, Lord, that you protect them, and his children's children, that you would protect them. Lord, it is almost as though we poked the bear in our nation. And so, Lord, we just ask again, you would show us how to be peacemakers, that we would love, Lord, love our neighbors. And Lord, just help our country. Lord, I pray also for our other leaders, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. Lord, there's a lot of division in the government, and so I pray, Father, that you, Lord, would move, Lord, in our government. Lord, move in the people that are over us making these decisions, and so help us, Lord, to say what we need to say and to be gracious, and but, Lord, to truly love our neighbors, Lord, in this time, in Jesus' name.
Father, I thank you so much for the parents of President Trump, that they introduced him to you, Father, as a child, and that his mother was faithful to pray for her son, Lord. And I ask that, Father, in these days and as things get worse, Lord, that all of that begins to come home to him, to his spirit and his soul, Lord. That foundation that was built as a child, Lord, that it is coming back. And I thank you for the leadership he has in the church there, in the Congress and the Senate that all gather for prayer meetings, Lord. I thank you for that, Father, and it's so great. And Father, most importantly, I pray for Melania and Baron and his other children, Lord, that the family unites in unity in Christ, because they, Lord, they will have an encounter with you that shows them that that is the biggest support they can give him, Lord. I thank you for the president and his family. I thank you for our government system, Lord, that it is a design of made by you in the beginning, Lord. And I thank you for your outstanding wisdom. And Lord, bless our president.
Dear Father, we thank you for our president. We ask your the feathers of your covering be over his life and life of his family, Vice President and his family. I think of Attorney General Barr, he and his family. Bless these ones, Lord, and may they realize you in their lives and acknowledge you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity that was given to us. And thank you for the Christian body that is following your leaders out here this morning, Lord, praying all over this nation. Lord, I just ask that you heal the division in this nation, Lord, that we are all Americans, that this nation was built by the founding fathers under your principles, Lord, that we never forget that, and that these two parties that are fighting each other, that they would just remember that we're all Americans, and that what's good for America, leave the bitterness and the strife behind and just do what's good for America. Lord, I just pray for protection over Donald Trump and his family and over the office of the presidency, Lord, that we all remember that it's a office and it's not the man, it's a office that, you know, is designed to lead our nation, Lord, and always let it be in your will, Lord. This I ask in your name.
Father, my heart agrees with Danny as he prayed for unity, and as we pray for our president and we pray for our nation, as Christians, we know who is the accuser. And Father, that we as Christians would come against the accuser and not the flesh. And Father, we just bind the enemy that is trying so hard to tear down the principles of this country. And Lord, we remember your words when you were here on this earth. When they are coming against you, they're coming against me. And Father, that the heaven in the heavenlies, that you hear our prayers and you see our petitions. And we pray mightily, not against people, but against the spirit that is driving these people. And even driving all the other ugliness in our country like has never been seen before. And that you have said that when your people who are called by your name will humble themselves and pray, you will answer. And Lord, we want to pray for your goodness and your mercy in this higher places. And stand boldly, even as has been mentioned, that there are prayer groups going on, even in the capital of our country, that the Holy Ghost could fall right there in that capital and fill them all up. And give them all the wisdom of God and not the wisdom of their own thinking. Yeah. And Lord, we do pray for our president. We pray that he would have a tongue of kindness come upon him that's going to shock his own self. That he is no longer a man in the world. And your scripture even says, for he who is given much, much is expected. And that the men that are around him that he has a respect for, which he has shown, I just pray that they'd be bold enough to say, hold your tongue. And God, we are, even as ourselves, are admonished. And those we have around us, when they admonish us, we respect them and we grow in grace. And we just have to remember that he needs to grow in grace. And God, that we would see a peace come upon our country, a peacefulness towards each other. Because this thing is spilling out of the White House and falling in our communities. And we're not liking people when we don't even know why. But it's a spirit of hatefulness. And we plead the blood of Jesus over this in your name.
Father, we see in the Old Testament where you went to battle for your people several times. And I feel like there's a stronghold in the nation, demonic strongholds and a spirit of murder. The Antichrist spirit is alive in this country. And so in order for the church to be what it needs to be, we're asking you to mobilize the church, build unity in the church, Lord, and let us forget about the minor differences in the denominations. Lord, it's time for the body of Christ. There is only one body of Christ. Yes. The born again, those that have called on the name of Jesus. Yes. Lord, we have repented and believed in our hearts and confessed with our mouth that you are the mighty God and Jesus is your Son. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, the power of his name, his shed blood, and the power of his resurrection. So we call on you to go to battle for us, Lord, and to use your people in a mighty way at the same time. You even told your people to be at rest, to hold back. You're going to battle for them. And that's what we need to see here. We're asking for mercy. Mm-hmm. Lord, in Jesus' name, and mm-hmm. the powers of darkness will come down. And Lord, we're asking for the Holy Spirit to revive each one of your people and the nation. Mobilize the church. Make us unified. And Lord, we pray the angels of heaven to watch over our president. Lord, give him an ear to listen to the vice president. And Lord, we're praying in Jesus' name that you will begin to do miraculous, miraculous things in the government of this nation. Lord, we're calling upon you to restore us, Lord. Mm-hmm. We pray for families to be restored. Yes. Lord, and we pray for the enemies of your kingdom to be shut out of this nation. Yes. Lord, we don't need to intermarry with other nations. We don't need to allow foreign religions in here. Lord, you warned your people not to intermarry with other nations and be involved with their idol worship. So we're calling for you to bring down these high places in our country, Lord, and do battle for this country, Lord, and save us from destruction. Lord, we don't want to see this country go down like others have, become so materialistic in the worship of self and the things that bring nations down. We refute those things, Lord. We ask you to help us to understand and have great discernment.
Yes.
The discerning of spirits, a discerning of what's going on, great understanding. Lord, if this opposing party will not listen, Lord, we just ask you to bring them down and we'll replace them, Lord, with godly men in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord.
Thank you
for your mercy and your grace in Jesus' name.
Lord, we would ask that all communication from the president go through the filter of Jesus' grace, mercy. Lord, that all the words out of his mouth would not necessarily be hateful, Lord, but they would show mercy and kindness and wisdom. Lord, we ask that, Lord, that you keep our president and all those that are elected by us to be safe and kept well, Lord, and that you would begin to guide their thoughts. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Almighty God, we thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord. We just love you so much, and we just love our president so much, Lord, that we just want you to put a double blessing on him and a double portion of your wisdom, O God, that you would give him your heart and your spirit, that he would make godly decisions on behalf of your nation. Father God, right now we bind the spirit of murder that is passing through this nation, and we loose your Holy Spirit of love. Yes. In Jesus' name.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Lord Jesus, we love this country, and I really feel like our government is just totally falling apart and not following you. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that your spirit move upon the people in our government. The ones that are good, may they step up, and the ones that are not so good, may you make them sit down. We ask, Lord Jesus, that our local governments and our federal government be touched by you. We ask, Lord Jesus, that we will take the time to pray for our president or the office of the president, and our Congress and our Senate,
yes,
and our whole government structure, Father God, that seems to be falling apart. We ask, Lord Jesus, that people are treated with fairness, that we don't look at each other because somebody is a little different than we are, but that you see us all as people needing the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask that a wave sweep over this nation, starting with the lowly and working all the way up, Father God. Please save our nation. In Jesus' name, Jesus. Amen.
Lord, the scripture says that there are three things that are sin of life. Lord, the pride of man is one of them. And Lord, we're seeing the pride of a man and a woman, Lord, throughout Congress, Lord, sticking its head up so tremendously. It's sticking its head up so hard, Lord God, that they are even willing to state forth that which is wrong in order to get their will manifested. And Lord God, we know that, yes, it is a man and a woman, but there's somehow in the spiritual realm something that is sticking its head up so hard that's causing major devastation. And so, Lord God, we thank you in Jesus' name that when these words come forth that are really from Satan himself, that when they begin to speak, their mouths will begin to shut in Jesus' name. And Lord God, we have seen this against President Trump in a mighty, tremendous way. Yea, he has said some things that we would not probably choose to say, but Lord, they are after his soul in a tremendous way. They're after his thoughts. They are after him in such a tremendous way, and it's because they do not realize, but they are after the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, they are after to tear down what you are trying to raise up. So Lord, we are asking you to tear down that which is from the pit, and to raise up that which is from you, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that as in the coming days when President Trump begins to speak, he will speak as you did, as we see in Scripture. You will speak truth, and when you speak, others do not know how to respond because they knew that you spoke the truth, in Jesus' name.
Father, help us not to be negligent in lifting up our president. Forgive me for falling far short, Lord. We just lift him up to you today. I have heard that he has asked you into his life as his Savior. So I pray that you draw him to you. Draw him to your word. Open his understanding of your word. Mm-hmm. Fill him with your Holy Spirit from glory to glory. We do pray protection over him, over his family, Father God, over our cabinet, over all our leaders, Lord. Help us to have more unity in our nation, not just in politics, but in our churches and our homes, Father. Mm-hmm. Bring peace to our nation that we can once again be one nation under God. In the name of Jesus, we ask it.
I remember as a small child that we experienced air raid drills in our schools where we had to go into the hallways and kneel down and put our hands over our heads because there was such a threat, a Cold War threat, that we were going to be bombed. So this was how they treat, children were put through this regularly. That brought about a lot of fear in me, and even when you'd hear thunder, you sometimes wondered, was it a bomb? Well, and over the years, you started to understand what freedom meant to you. September 11th, 2001, that threat became real again. I appreciate this president, that he is standing up for our freedom. I hope and pray that that will be ingrained in this future generation. Yes. To hold forth, to hold on to the freedoms that we know. We have been threatened. We have felt that threat for the last, say, back 10 or 12 years. We started to see things being allowed that just were watering down our freedom and making our freedom feel as though that it was threatened again. Lord Jesus, ingrain in all of us what it means to be free and not be under some type of a radical government that would begin to remove those freedoms from us. I appreciate this president for standing strong. I believe that it had to be someone that God chose that was well known to bring this about. And I pray for him to be reelected. I pray that God will place him in there again with a mandate. Lord Jesus, we just ask, Lord, that you have mercy on this country.
Lord, I thank you for using this president, Donald Trump. Lord, the amount of pressure he must be under is tremendous. But I do pray that you keep him safe. And I pray for the ones who are against him that they will just realize that that doesn't help anything just for the sake of being against something. Lord, I pray that they will be able to work together in the government and do the things that we need for our country. And I believe it is a spiritual battle over basically good and evil. You know, there's this whole anti-church thing going on, and it's obviously, to me, a spiritual battle going on. And so it must be just tremendous pressure on him. But I do pray that you protect him, and that these other, everyone in the government will realize that it's best for the country to work together and not just be against the other one because they're for something. So I do pray that in Jesus' name.
Lord, thank you for, Lord, all of this prayer that has gone up today. We do pray for our president. Lord, that you would give him the tongue of the learned, as the scripture says. Lord, that you would help him, Lord, to be wise. Lord, as a serpent and gentle as a dove. And Lord, we pray for our country, that you would heal our land, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for these people here, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that their prayers have been genuine and biblical today. And Lord, I pray that you would, we know that you hear us. And Lord, we pray that you would move on behalf of our prayers, Lord, to do over and beyond what we would ask or think in Jesus' name. And I pray now as we close the service that your peace would reside on each person here as they go this week. I pray for your holy presence to lead them and to guide them and to protect them. I pray that you would use them, Lord, as people of grace and representatives of the Almighty God. And the blessing of the Lord be upon each of you in Jesus' name. Amen.